What an appropriate song for today. I called and you answered and you came to my rescue. And I want to be where you are. Like, okay. So I know this is tough. I mean, I get it. It's tough. It's weird. Some of you are worshiping maybe in your home. Some of you are in your living room. Some of you are at a kitchen table. So you might even be in a car. You might be watching this like on Tuesday because you had to work. Because you're working overtime at a hospital or you're working at a grocery store or something like that. But man, there is going to come a day that we get to be together forever. This is temporary. And I know it's hard because most of us think, man, when is this going to end? And none of us know when it's going to end. I wish I could tell you as your pastor, man, in 10 weeks it'll be over. In 2 weeks it'll be over. By Easter Sunday, we'll all be, I can't promise you that. I don't know the future. My wife was reading a devotional this morning, and she said, we cannot take tomorrow out of God's hands. We can't steal tomorrow out of God's hands. God holds our tomorrow and our today and the past. All we have to do is trust him. And so there is coming day. He has made us a promise that one day we will be together forever. There will be no delays. There won't be any coronavirus fears. There won't be any fears of other things that happen to us or calamities or persecution or pestilence like we talked about last week. But when you run to the shelter, when you rest in the shelter of the Almighty, and when you remember the good things of the shelter of the Almighty, the promises of man, because of Christ, we will be together. So kids, here's what I need from you today, right? If you're a kid, you're at home. I don't care how old you are from like one, as soon as you're able to like take a crayon and draw all the way up, we'll give you to 25, okay? All right, we give you to 25 years old, maybe 30 if you're artistic. I want to encourage you in this way, kids. Whatever, we're going to tell a story today, and it should be some of it is a familiar story to some. We actually shared part of the story a couple months ago in January. We did a sermon on praying individually. Today we're going to talk about praying together, even when we can't be together. We're still going to pray together and how to pray together. We look at this story from Elijah. So kids, here's what I need you to do. I want you to draw a picture, okay, of something that we talk about today. And that picture that you draw, I want you to send to Parkway Baptist Church, all right? The websites or the address is on our website. Tell your parents. Say, Pastor Derek said that we're going to send this. Because you know at home, if you draw a picture or something like that and you post it on your refrigerator, well, between now and the time when we're together again, this back wall right here, there's a picture on it right now. We're going to take that picture down, and we're going to put your pictures on it, okay? There are blocks all over here. This is going to be our Parkway refrigerator, and I want you to send us your picture, okay, of what God is speaking to you, how he's moving to you, things that we talk about. We're going to put it up here, and we're going to at least be together by your pictures, okay? Now, I know there's some adults that you're like, hey, can I send my picture too? The answer is yes, okay? You can send your picture. Because there are actually people at Parkway, when they come to church, they don't keep notes like some other folks do, like writing notes and things like that. They actually draw pictures, believe it or not, in a collage notebook. And that's how they keep track of how God spoke to them. They date that, write something that God spoke to them. So that's my encouragement to you, kids. Pay attention. I want you to draw. So you have my permission right now, all right? You can ask mom and dad. Go get a piece of paper, come back, and I want you to color along as we talk about these things. Because Pastor Joe said that we need to be praying, and prayer is the essence of the hour. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about prayer, how we pray together. So let's jump into God's word, all right? James chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Man, that's some of us today, right? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him, listen to this, pray. It doesn't say let him go to Walmart and get TP. It says let him pray, okay? If anyone's among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. We've already sung some praise. Is anyone among you sick? Man, that's our culture right now, right? It says let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And you're like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be getting together. Listen, you need prayer, you call us, one of us will come. We have to dress in a hazmat suit. We will come and we will pray over you. That's what the Lord's called me to. That's what others have called us to. And the prayer of faith, listen to verse 15. The prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another. So we're going to do today that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What's that it? As the prayers are working. hey, folks, right now, I know you feel hopeless. I feel hopeless too, or helpless, really. I want to do stuff, man. I want to be with people. That's how I fix things. I fix things by physical proximity. I just go to that meeting, or I go be with those people. Right now, I can't, and it's driving me bonkers, all right? It's driving me bonkers. But what I can do is I can do something even better than that. I can pray to the one who can go. I can pray to the one who can be present in that hospital room, who can be present with those people, who can be with more than 10 people at the same time, all right? And I know some of you have been counting. I've already gotten a text from my wife who said, my son is counting individuals. There are less than 10, but there are 10 people exactly on this facility presence right now, okay? So for my son, you know who you are. I love you, all right? But there's only 10, all right? There's only 10. You keep counting. There's only 10. There have only been 10 at one time. There was actually one other person, and he left before another person got here. So there's only 10, all right? So here's the point for today, all right? We're going to be in 1 Kings. Once you go to 1 Kings, we're going to start in 17 and then look at a few verses in 18. But here's the thing I want us to all understand. And the sermon notes are online. You should be able to click on those if you're following us on Facebook. Prayer is the hand of faith that takes the promises of God and translates them into the realities of life. All right, so you may be wondering, and I'm a doer. I mean, hear me. When stuff needs to get done, I like to do it. And prayer's hard for me. I just want to show prayer's hard for me. But when I learned this, I thought, man, no, this is the works. I start my day like this now. Prayer is the hand of faith that literally translates the promises of God, the things that he's promised us, into the realities of life. Because there's some people who say things like, well, God knows the future. Like, if God knows how many people are going to die with the coronavirus, then why does it matter what I do in the middle? Like, why does it matter even if I pray if he already knows what's going to happen? And I heard John Piper say this a few weeks ago, and I wrote it down. It's worth saying again. If God ordains the end, okay, if he ordains the end, then he also ordains the means that helps accomplish the end. So it is right for you and me to pray in the meantime, regardless if the person's going to be healed or if a person's going to ultimately be healed by going to be with Jesus. It is right for us to pray and help accomplish the ends. So it's here in this text, in 1 Kings chapter 17, it's been without rain, all right? And God has spoken through Elijah, and he stopped the rain. So 1 Kings chapter 17, here's the story, all right? Now, Elijah the Tishbite of Tishba and Gilead, he said to Ahab, Ahab at the time was the king, and he wasn't a good king. He was a bad king, and he was even married to an even worse queen, all right? Jezebel, if you're in the room, we've done this before, you go ahead, whenever you say Jezebel, you're like, ooh, all right, go ahead. So Jezebel, that's right. All right, those of you who are here, thank you. All right, so the rest of you should be allowed in your living room, all right? So here's what it says. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, he's speaking to Ahab, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. So I want to paint a picture for us just for a moment. God spoke to Elijah, and then Elijah spoke to Ahab, and he said, I'm going to cease rain on the earth for a certain amount of time. And he said these years. He didn't say exactly how long. He just said these years. Now we know later, because we know the end of the story, is about 3.5 years. But when he told them there were going to be no rain, they saw no end in sight. Just like today, you and I see no end in sight. It's only been 1 week that, at least as Americans in the United States, that we've been kind of doing this social distancing thing. And we're kind of like, hey, when's this going to end? Like, we want an end date. We don't know. We hope it's not 3 years, 3.5 years. We don't know. But these guys didn't know. Elijah didn't know exactly how long, and Ahab certainly didn't know. But here's what God promised Elijah. He didn't promise him the end date. He just promised him that he was going to take care of him in the meantime. Church, hear me. God is going to take care of us. He's going to take the believers, and he's also going to take care of the non-believers, okay, during this time. So look at what he says. He tells Elijah, get up, go to the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. He said, you shall, listen to this, you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, when I read this verse earlier, I thought about Matthew chapter 6. And Pastor Joe read Matthew chapter 6. We did our prayer time this past Wednesday night. And Matthew chapter 6 tells the Christian, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. I know some of you right now, you're worried about what you're going to eat. because I called a Chinese place. Yes, my favorite Chinese place is closed until April 15th. I was not happy. So I just called a different Chinese place. And they were closed too. And I was like, what? You know, I know we're worried about what we're going to eat. I mean, I took 20 minutes of my family on the phone call. Yes, my family came in. My mom and daddy came in town yesterday. We still observe social distancing. And they came in town. My brother was here. He's preparing to get married in a few weeks. We're trying to figure all that out too. And so we just wanted to eat something. And we spent 20 minutes trying to figure out what we're going to eat. I couldn't help but think about this. Like what? He says in Matthew 6, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Or whether there's going to be enough TP, you're not supposed to worry about that, all right? He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. What Jesus is saying is they don't work like you do, all right? And he says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than birds? Hey, God was taking care of Elijah by sending him to a brook to drink, and by feeding him with ravens. Now, we don't have time to get into what ravens. Ravens are scavengers. They would eat it on their own. But God used a scavenger bird to bring food to Elijah. So here's the most beautiful part of the text in chapter 17, verse. It says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's an awesome part. I think it's verse 4. He went and did what he said, what God said. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread. God did exactly what he said he was going to do, took care of him. And he brought him meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now here's what it says, because you know there's been no rain on the land. It says, after a while, the brook dried up. Because there was no rain in the land. Now, I know you may be like, hey, wait a minute, the brook dried up. But God told Elijah to go there, and he sent him there, and he was supplied there for his water source for a while, but then the brook dried up. Why did it dry up? Because there was no rain in the land. All right, natural things happen, all right? But here's the deal. God moved, and we don't have time to look at all the rest of it. God actually moved Elijah around and supplied for his needs the entire time. And I think what we can learn from that as we walk through this season together is that God doesn't want us to be dependent upon the supply. You may be like, hey, I always get my toilet paper from Walmart, and I've had to go to Aldi to get my toilet paper. I'm freaking out. Well, look, God's going to supply your TP, okay? You may be like, I'm used to getting my food from this place, and I went, and they weren't there the other day. I had to go somewhere else. God may move where your supply comes from, because here's the deal. He doesn't want your eyes fixed on the supply. He wants your eyes fixed on the source. Watchman Nee said this, because of our proneness to look at the bucket, we forget the fountain. God frequently has to change his means of supply to keep our eyes focused on the source. And I think we got to remember that during this time. So here's the first thing for the day. We've done this before, and I'm going to ask you some questions as we get to this latter part, but I think it's right for us to look back at some of this together. Is that the problems of life lead us to praying in God's power. All right, so this problem of coronavirus 19, all right, it's leading all of us to praying in God's power. You may be like, well, I don't feel very powerful. Well, let's look and see what God does, all right? Here's the background at the time with Elijah. All right, there's lots of problems, not just one. It's been 100 years since David reigned over the United Kingdom of Israel. Now the kingdom's divided. That's a problem. Ahab's the king. He's a bad guy. He's married to an even worse queen, Jezebel. Thank you. All right. All right. And there's been a long succession of bad kings. There's a problem. All right. Jezebel. Thank you. Yeah. She had made it her mission to cut off all of the other prophets of God. Now, cut off is the Bible's nice way of saying kill or annihilate. And then there had also been no rain on the land, which meant famine. And famine, which meant suffering. That's bad. All right? That's worse. I should be honest with you. That's worse than what we're walking through right now. All right? I've eaten fine. I've lost no weight. All right? I haven't. All right? And so it's been without rain, and now for 3 years it's going to rain, and God's going to use Elijah to call for repentance and pray, and God's going to demonstrate his glory. So let's look at chapter 18. Chapter 18 says this, after many days the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Because God always speaks through his word, all right? And that happened while Elijah was praying, all right? So in the third year, he said this to Elijah. So it's been 3 years. He says, go show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to send rain on the earth. Now, again, 3 years, no rain. Now, here's the truth I want us to get from these problems, all right? Because remember, the problems of life lead to praying in God's power. Problems that are prayed for or problems that are prayed about become opportunities for God's power to be seen. And that's what we want during this time. So when you walk up into a grocery store and it's not there that you thought it was supposed to be there, or you were supposed to get together with your friends, or you were supposed to have this event on that day, or you thought your wedding was supposed to be what it was and it's different, the problems of life, I want you to pray about them, they become opportunities to demonstrate God's power, for God's power to be seen, not just by you, okay? Not just in you getting what you thought you needed or you wanted, but it's God's power being seen by the all right, so Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, all right? And the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, remember? All right, now Jezebel cutting off, that's a problem. No, it's an opportunity because it's prayed about, all right? Obadiah, listen to what he does. He took 100 prophets, and he hid them by 50s in caves. So a bunch of them had been killed, and Obadiah said, I'm going to take these 100 prophets, and I'm going to hide them in 50s. Hey, folks, that's social distancing. Praise the Lord. There's social distancing here in the Old Testament for us today. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land and all the springs of water into the valleys, and perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. And Ahab went one direction by himself, and Obadiah went another direction by himself. And Obadiah was on the way. Behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, is it you, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah's here. Now we're going to skip down to verse 17. And when Ahab finally sees Elijah, Elijah said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? And Elijah answered Ahab, he goes, I haven't troubled Israel, king, but you have. In your father's house, because you've abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me in Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab, he sent to all, So Ahab sent all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, and here's the point, all right? Here's how the demonstration is supposed to be happening. Because remember, we talked about the problems of life lead to praying in God's power, and problems that are prayed about become opportunities for God's power to be seen. That's what's happened here. So we talked about a few months ago. It's worth rehearsing again. Here's the prayer. Here's the heart cry of Elijah to his people. He says, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And hey, I'd say for us today, how long, American Christians, are we going to go limping along between two different opinions? Either God is our supply, or the way we do life is our supply. And I think, unfortunately, some of us are really just upset that the way we do life isn't happening the way we wanted to do, and we believe God's forsaken us. I mean, come on. Come on. He's still God. He's still God. He owes us nothing, and he's given us everything. We have salvation. That's huge. Salvation is everything. If we didn't have salvation, we'd have nothing. Salvation before our families. So how long are we going to go limping between two opinions? And the people didn't answer him a word. And then Elijah said to the people, I am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So then he explains the context. He goes, Baal, you're going to go get your prophets, and you're going to set up an altar, and you're going to try to call down fire from heaven, and if it comes, then we'll know that Baal's God, and then I'm going to do the same thing, and we'll know if God gives fire, that he's the real God. And so it says that, you know, all day long they cried out, Baal, answer us, Baal, answer us, but there was no voice, there was no answer. And Elijah even mocked him a little bit, you know, which was kind of fun. He said, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's musing or he's relieving himself. I mean, even there, you know, I don't know if they had TV or not. But he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and they even cut themselves with swords and lances until their blood gushed down on them. And as midday passed, they raved on from time to the time of the oblation, offering the oblation. But look at verse 29. It says, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. So here's the second thing I want us to see, is that God prepares us for praying in God's power. Okay? God prepares us for praying in God's power. Here's what he does. In verse 30, Elijah called to the people and he said, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And this is the invitation that God gives all of us today, no matter where we are. Whether we're real upset or not upset, or we're at peace, or we're fearing, or we're fighting this, or whether we're focusing on God, the invitation is the same for all of us. Come near to God. Draw near to God. Today, at this moment, forget everything else and draw near to God. Here's how you do it. We just follow what Elijah did, because it says he came near to God and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Some of us today need to repair the altar. And that means to simply confess. You may have, I've sinned this week. I've already written down my confession, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down right now something you need to confess. Just write down something. Why write it down? You don't want somebody else to say, who cares, your brother, sister in the room, whatever this. What'd you write? Don't look at anybody else. You look at you pay attention to you. What do you need to confess to the Lord right now? You've got something. I do. So I want you to write it down. Second thing, after he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down, Elijah, he began to take 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord came. The second thing I want us to do is repent. So you confess, and then we need to repent. Repent simply means to turn away from going your way and turn towards God and go God's way. All right, Elijah's rebuilding the altar based on the 12 tribes of Israel. The country had been divided, 10 tribes of the north or 2 tribes of the south. And when he's putting 12 stones and saying, Israel is your name, Elijah is calling them back to a place of unity. He's calling them to repentance. Repentance from going their own way, to come God, go God's way. Don't you remember how he made you? And so I want you to write down too, after you've written down your confession, I want you to write down, how are you repenting? This for you, mom and dad. This for you, sir. This for you, ma'am. How are you repenting? How are you going to turn from your sin and towards God's path? It may be, hey, I'm going to memorize Luke 10:27 like our pastors asked us to this week. And I'm not going to just flip and say, I'm going to memorize it. Even with the most, how do you plan on repenting this week? How are you going to turn from your way? You go God's way. And there's something God's speaking to you. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But it's to follow God's way. So Elijah in verse 31, it says, he took the 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord came. And he said, Israel shall be your name. What are those 12 stones? Why is he doing that? He's remembering the mighty acts of God. So after you confess and you repent, you don't need to be sad. You don't need to think, oh, I had to confess, I had to repent. We all have to confess. We all have to repent. We're all walking through this. We are all walking into financial uncertainty together. So what do? We don't bemoan it. We don't worry about tomorrow. No, we remember the mighty acts of God. When he's putting those stones together, he's saying, remember what God did? You guys crossed through a river on dry land, and after you got through the Jordan River, you put 12 stones up. So, hey, mom and dad, hey, kids, I know you're upset because you didn't get to do this one thing, or you thought you were going to go to prom, or whatever it might be. I care, but look, remember the mighty acts of God and what he's done. So I want you to write that. I think, is that 10:02?
10 o'clock.
We're going to pray in just a minute. I want you to write down 3 mighty acts of God in your life. And then verse 32, it says, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar's graves containing 2 seeds of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the built bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. So the 4th thing is to renew your mind. So renew your mind. So I want you to thank God. So we already talked about confession. We talked about repentance. We talked about remembering the mighty acts of God. I want us to renew our minds. Thank God that he's promised to renew your mind. So here's 2 verses I want to give you. Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Because remember, you can't forsake your commitment to God and expect the power of God. So God's power then is revealed when we pray in God's power. And here's where I want to jump in with us, following the text along in verse 34. And he said this, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And he drenched it with water again. They did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. This is his prayer. Answer me that this people may know you, O Lord, our God, and that you have turned their hearts back. That's our 10:02. That's our 10:02 prayer. We're going to pray this prayer. So awesome that we're reading this prayer right now. Let's pray the same prayer that Elijah prayed. So let's bow with me. God, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, may it be known this day, March 22nd, 2020, that you are God, not just God in Israel, but you are God of the earth. And Lord, that we are your servants. And Father, that we have done all these things at your word. And God, would you answer us? Oh Lord, would you answer us? Father, we have seen suffering, God, just in the last week. And Lord, we know we may see some suffering in the coming days. But God, would you answer us that people would know that you, oh Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The best reason for prayer is that people may know that the Lord is God, that God is the Lord. That prayer, four things are found in this prayer. God revealed that he is true to his word. God reveals that we belong to him. God reveals legitimacy to the ministry that he's doing. And God reveals his abundant grace. God reveals that he's true to his word. He says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, knowing that you are God in Israel, that I'm your servant, and that I've done things according to your word. God reveals that we belong to him. God reveals legitimacy to the ministry that he's doing. He says that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God. And then God reveals his abundant grace and that you have turned their hearts back. And that's our prayer for what God's doing in our nation, what God's doing in our globe right now, that he would be turning the hearts of people back to him. So then you know and you see, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water. It was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he's God. The Lord, he's God. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. So they seized him. You see, when God shows up, you've got two choices. You can say, the Lord, he is God, I'll follow him. Or you can say, I'll keep my idols and I will follow me. You got two choices right now, church. You can either say, God, you're God, and I trust you in this time, or you can have a pity party about what you're missing out on. Those are your options. So here's some practical ways to pray as we have, Pastor Joe's mentioned some prayer requests, Pastor Mack mentioned some things at the end of our service. Here's some ways I want us to pray in the coming days. Three ways. One, ask God, all right? Here's how we're going to pray. We're going to list it this way. It's how I'm listening to my prayer journal. We're going to ask God things. This is what, God, I need you to do. God, I want you to bring healing to this person. God, I want you to provide for Mike and Jane in this way. Ask God. And then when God answers, we're going to write that down. All right? When God moves or speaks, here's how we're going to answer. But then here's a third category that I think sometimes we miss. Is we're going to ask God for this to be for God's benefit. We sometimes forget that God responds to our requests, not just because he loves us and he wants us to have things and because he wants us to be healthy and happy. No, no, no. God responds to our requests because of his glory. Usually our only concern is only related to our need. And sometimes God doesn't respond to our request only because it's only about us. But God responds to our request because of his glory. So that's how we're going to track our prayers in the coming days, all right? So here's the principles of prayer as we close this. that we want to learn as we pray in God's power. Look at verse 41. So the contest is over. Fire fell down. Remember, he never called down fire from heaven. He just prayed that they would see that he is God. So Elijah says to Ahab, he's got Ahab's attention now, all right? Because all the prophets of Baal have been, they've been wiped out, all right? And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of rushing rain. This king was concerned about his kingdom because there had been no rain. Even though he's a bad king, he's still concerned for his kingdom. He wanted to have a kingdom at least rain over. Verse 42, so Ahab went up and he ate and drank. And Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. And Elijah got down, bowed himself down on the earth, and put his face between his knees. Now, it doesn't say that he's praying, but people don't typically bow themselves down on the earth and put their face between their knees to just see how things smell, all right? He's praying, all right? He's getting down on his face, and he's interceding on the people's behalf. He's praying for rain. In verse 43, and he said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. And his servant got up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he came back and he said, go again. And it says seven times this happened. He's up there bowing prostrate on the ground, putting his face down on the ground, praying. And his servant's going up and back and up and back and up and back looking. So here's a question I had. How could Elijah hear the sound of a rushing rain if there had been no cloud in the sky? Because up this point, it says there's no cloud in the sky. And here's something I read. When you are close to God, made holy through the word of God and prayer, you start to hear stuff. You start to see stuff. You start to perceive stuff that you haven't seen with your physical eyes. Now, why did he know rain was coming? Because the word of God had already been spoken to him and said that rain was coming. Sometimes God lets us in on things that he's doing that he hasn't revealed yet. So then how do you bridge the gap between what you know God is doing that you can't see and the actual doing it of God? And the answer is prayer. Prayer is bridging the gap between what you know God is doing that you can't see and the actual doing it of it by God. So prayer is not making God do anything. Prayer is saying, I'm going to collaborate with God on what he's doing before he starts doing it. So we know that in this time, God's going to heal people, right? We know in this time, God's going to bring people to salvation, right? So let's pray to that end. Lest we think we could actually change God's mind, prayer is connecting with God on what he's planning to do before we started praying. So in prayer, God lets us in on what he's already doing. Verse 44 says this, and at the seventh time he said, behold, this is a servant, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. Man, listen to that confidence in Elijah. He knows what's coming. And that's what I want to encourage us to pray, expecting God to move. So in the coming days, brothers and sisters, pray, expecting God to move. James 1 says it this way in verse 5 through 8. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Folks, pray expecting God to move. Elijah told Ahab to go eat and drink because he was confident God would move. He told his servant seven times, keep getting up and go looking back. Because when you've poured out your heart to God, you don't need to see the whole plan. And right now, I know if you're anything like me, I'm a planner. I want to see how everything's going to work out. We don't have to see the whole plan. You're okay if you just see a little something. You just need to see that God is moving and follow his direction. I spent some time with Joe and Penny this week. And, you know, back in October, she discovered that she had this brain tumor. So she went and tried to get some help where they were overseas. And they told her that she had too much pressure on her brain. She couldn't fly. But then, lo and behold, the pressure relieved. She was able to get on an airplane and fly back to the United States and go to Nashville, where she was able to get treatment. And they told her they couldn't do surgery. But then all of a sudden, she could have surgery, and surgery removed the tumor from the brain. So after that tumor is removed from the brain, she's thinking, all right, so she begins this immunotherapy, and she gets two treatments into this immunotherapy, and then all of a sudden, her body just starts responding negatively. Some of these levels go up way too high, and they have to stop it. They have to pump her full of steroids just to get those levels to come down. And all the time that she's suffering, she knows, her and Joe, man, I got testimony, they trust God in the suffering. But here's one of the reasons why he allowed the suffering, because her mom's getting ready to die. So because her body was full of steroids and her health was able to travel, she was able to come all the way from Nashville this week, close to Kingsbridge, near Crewe, and be with her mom in her mom's last days. Man, when we don't know what God's doing, he's moving. And we don't know how or when God will move, but we know God moves. Elijah here, he prayed expected to see something. And many of us pray. Many of us pray, but we don't go looking. And that's what this servant did in verse 43. He went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And Elijah told him, go again 7 times. So here's a question I have when I pray. How long do you pray? How long do you pray? Well, here's the answer. You pray until you get an answer. And you pray until you get peace. God answers in his time. Here's 4 ways we know that God answers. He answers in his way. He either answers yes. Sometimes he answers no. Sometimes he answers slow. Sometimes he answers go. Yes, no, slow, go. Those are his general answers. So look at verse 45. In a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. We pray in God's power. Here's what happens. God changes our circumstances. It was dry, and now it's wet. It had been dry for 3.5 years, and now it's wet because those heavens were going black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. Man, when we pray in God's power, it will change our circumstances. And here's a promise. Here's a promise. The circumstances are going to change in the coming weeks and months and even potentially years. They're going to change. And God's going to move in the midst of that change. Here's really the miracle, I think, is in verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, I want to make sure we're following this now. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What was Ahab on? Ahab was on a chariot. And Elijah ran faster than Ahab was on his chariot. You see, prayer in God's power will change your circumstances. But praying in God's power will change you. And that is the greatest miracle. The miracle is that the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And hear me, believers in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Don't forget that. It says that he outran his enemy. It was 18 miles from Jezreel all the way to where he was going. And Elijah outran a horse. And why did all that happen? Did all that happen because Elijah was a super fit guy who did CrossFit and Orange Theory? No, no. Was Elijah a Marine? No, no. Was Elijah in the army? No. Did he get? No. Why did this happen? All this happened, don't miss this, all this happened because Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed. So church, would you pray? Would you pray? You may be listening to this and you're like, hey, I'm not the church. I'm just here as an observer. I'm a little lost right now. I'm a little concerned about what's going on. I don't see any answers. You've mentioned some things that are different, and certainly things are different. It's kind of why I'm paying attention to you right now. It's why I'm watching. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, it's not prayer that's powerful. It's the God in the prayer that's powerful. It's the God we pray to. God does not do what we ask him to do because we ask him. He does what we ask him so that you might know that he is God. He answers our prayers so that we might be a living demonstration of really what the cross of Jesus Christ is. He came, God the Father came in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, sent his Son, lived a perfect life here on earth. He died a gruesome death on a cross, and he raised gloriously again on the third day. And he purchased a place for you and me in heaven. But he says that we have to place our faith, hope, and trust in him. So I want to invite you right now. If you've never received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God has allowed this coronavirus for you. He's allowed this for you. He's allowed this social distancing. He's allowed this interruption of life for you. I'm going to ask the team to come, and I'm just going to simply pray a prayer. And I want you to pray along with me. You just simply say, God, I know that you are God. God, I know that I am a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ came and died for me. And I give my life to him. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe on the cross. I believe in the glory of the resurrection. And I believe that that miracle was even greater than the one that God did with Elijah that we just read about. And I give my life to you. I receive your gift of salvation. There might be others of you that are listening to me today, and I pray if you're in your living room, mom and dad, teenager, college student, young adult, single adult, I pray you get down on your knees right now if you're a believer in Jesus. Right now, where you are in your living room, and you say, God, I want to pray. I want to spend time praying. But I pray that my prayers would not be about changing my circumstances, because you've already promised you're going to change my circumstances. You're going to. My prayer is that you would change me. So God, would you change us? Would you change me? Would you change Derek today? Would you change my family? Would you change Melissa and Eli and Isaac and Sam and Esther and Anna? Would you change us? Would you change Parkway? That when this is all over, we wouldn't just go back to the status quo and the way things were done before. But God, you'd make us new. Lord, we know you're going to move. Your word's already promised it. We pray that you would use our lives, you would use our days, you would use our suffering so that more people might hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's our response. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.